From Sacramento, the Bishop's Radio Hour with Bob Dunning on Relevant Radio, focusing on today's issues in the context of gospel values. Now, here's Bob.
That's me. Welcome to you on this beautiful day the Lord has made, and we're pleased and honored to have Bishop Emeritus William Wiegand as our guest this morning right here in studio. Bishop, so good to see you.
Good morning, Bob. Good morning, all of our listeners.
Very good to have you. Bishop Wiegand, you came here from Salt Lake City, the diocese which covered all of Utah, came to another very large diocese. What was that, 1993?
November 30, 1993 was my appointment to Sacramento. That's correct.
Wow. Had you been to Sacramento? Were you familiar with Sacramento?
Only in passing.
Yeah, yeah. And I had a chance with my family summer before last to visit the Cathedral of the Madeleine in Salt Lake City that you had a major hand in the renovation of.
That's correct, yes.
And it's beautiful.
It is. And it still is.
It still is, yeah.
As is ours in Sacramento.
Yeah, and you had a major project was the renovation of the Cathedral of the Blessed Sacrament.
That's correct.
Which is absolutely stunning.
Yes, I would agree.
Everybody that comes in there is just overwhelmed.
And all built originally in 1879. Right. And renewed and restored. We rededicated it the end of November, Christ the King, the Feast of Christ the King, in 2005.
Wow, was it that long ago?
Yes, yeah.
So 12 years ago.
Uh-huh.
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah, and it already was a major tourist attraction, but now it's like it's a must-see for anybody who comes to Sacramento, Catholic or not.
That's correct. It certainly has caught the attention of the local public, as well as the tour guides, and it's just a block north of the Capitol building of the state of California, so it's well positioned.
Right. We can keep our eye on the politicians.
We try to do that and even pray for them.
Pray for them, yes. Well, and it's been the site of many ecumenical and interfaith events, and also the annual Red Mass, where we invite all those people from the Capitol to come over.
That's correct. It's a place where, of the churches in Sacramento, the politicians probably know the Cathedral of the Blessed Sacrament more than any others.
Absolutely.
Because of its history and its closeness.
Right. So that when you first undertook the project of the renovation and restoration of the cathedral, what were your goals? It's such a big project. You didn't want to change it, certainly. Did you want to restore it to original or make it?
Well, it had gotten pretty shabby.
Mm-hmm.
Run down, and all of the systems needed to be redone, the heating system, electrical systems, all of those things. It never did have any air conditioning, which was a problem in the summer time. And plus, it had never really been finished.
Right.
It was modeled after the Church of the Holy Trinity in Paris. But and it was built and at the lower level, stained glass windows put in and so forth. It was never decorated in accordance with the original plan, and that was done in the renovations that we did finalizing in 2005. So it's reached its artistic climax, in a sense, after well over 100 years, which is not unusual for cathedrals.
Yeah, and we didn't basically change the seating capacity at all?
Over the years, the seating capacity was decreased slightly.
Mm-hmm.
There had been some additional balconies. Those were long gone by the time I came to Sacramento. We did introduce a baptismal font at the entrance of the church, which caused a little bit of different formation of the pews, the seating system. But for the most part, the seating remained the same.
Wow. So, were there any surprises in this, Did you find somebody's old baseball card collection in the attic or anything?
Well, they found interesting things. What comes to my mind at the moment, when it was built, way up in the rafters and so forth, there are a lot of like square nails. Nails of that time, almost like homemade.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Many of those were rescued and made into crosses.
Oh, wow.
Two of those nails crossed and soldered, of course, and given out as memorial gifts to donors for the restoration.
Oh, that's interesting. And how long was the project?
Well, the cathedral was closed for the actual work for 2 years.
For 2 years, yeah.
But the planning went on for 2 or 3 years prior to that, so it was basically a 5-year project.
And do you name another church as a cathedral?
No, we did not formally, but as a matter of fact, because the Cathedral of the Blessed Sacrament was not in use, we used different churches for different things in the Sacramento area, of course, for Holy Week services, for example, and the Chrism Mass. And confirmations took place as usual, mainly in the parishes, so that was not a change.
I was reading the other day that it was Pope Francis said, and he was honoring a cardinal, and he said, the bishops never retire. that's a true statement, isn't it?
Well, we do and we don't. I mean, formally we do. We submit our resignation in accordance with the current canon law upon reaching 75 years of age. And that at some point is granted, but one keeps working, helping the new bishops and being of service in any way possible. So I have stayed active. I stepped down early because of health issues, so I was only 71 and a half. So I've been retired already now 9 years.
Wow.
But I continue to work quite a bit.
And you do a lot of confirmations?
I still do some confirmations and help at the cathedral from time to time. And at parish churches when there's need.
So when you look back on your years as bishop in the Diocese of Sacramento, what do you want people to remember about your tenure?
Well, that I was faithful to the teaching of the church and did my best to pass them on, and to a highlight of my 15 years as a diocesan bishop was the planning for and the conducting of a diocesan synod, which had not been done for many years, which included fine-tuning and updating our pastoral priorities for the diocese with input from the people. We did a survey, a very extensive survey with nearly 65,000 people taking part to so people in the pews had a chance to indicate their own concerns of things that needed to be addressed emphasized. For example, many people said we've got to try to do better and more for young people.
Right.
And we're still trying to do that,
still
of course.
To do it. Yeah.
And questions like how do we adapt to changing populations? Some of the towns and therefore parishes getting smaller and needing to be combined, other parishes needing to build new churches and bigger churches and establishing new parishes. So there was a lot of input, and it was very exciting. The Holy Spirit was very active during the actual sessions of the synod in October of 2004.
And that was up in Yuba City at St. Isidore's?
Yes, correct. But that was followed up also by subsequent sessions, 2 and 3, the updating of all of our diocesan statutes and guidelines and regulations, manuals, and so forth. So it was quite a extensive project, actually.
I would think very energizing too for the whole diocese.
It certainly was. And among other things, too, during my years, we established Cristo Rey High School, which is one of our most important ministries right now, serving young people, boys and girls, in high school years who live under the poverty line.
Right.
You can't get into Cristo Rey High School unless your tax reports show that you're below the poverty line.
Right.
And it's funded with the help of corporations who hire the students one day a week, so it's a work study kind of program, and it's marvelous.
And many of those kids go on to almost 100% go on to college.
Correct.
Some of them are the first in their families to graduate from high school.
That's right.
And almost all of them are the first to graduate from college.
That's correct.
Yeah, it's remarkable.
And as it has turned out, the great percentage of the students are Hispanics who basically were not being served otherwise in our Catholic schools because they could not with the tuitions that are charged.
Right.
So it's helped us get into an important population of our diocese with our Catholic schools.
Yeah, it's a real point of pride. And now they have a beautiful new campus even.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, it's the community has really rallied around it, the business community offering jobs. And it's a remarkable model.
Right. Uh-huh. Yeah. And other things during my 15 years was basically adapting to the changing population. During my 15 years, the Hispanic population increased manyfold, which meant starting masses and sacraments initially in Spanish to help the people make the to bridge them into our culture and our diocese. But also during those years, the Filipino population increased greatly, very greatly, and has become a great blessing to us in terms of vocations to the priesthood. We've been able to recruit and to ordain quite a number of very talented Filipino priests, and more recently, Filipino Americans, young people.
Right.
Born here, but their parents came as immigrants.
Right. The new pastor at my parish, St. James in Davis, is Filipino as well.
Yeah. And then I would say during my 15 years, and very important was the upgrading and completing of St. Francis High School, our very important girls' high school.
Right.
And a beautiful campus now. And
it is, yeah.
Much larger enrollment and so forth. Highly esteemed in our community. But I would place the Bishop's Hour on Catholic Radio as also very important. It's been nearly 20 years now, I think.
Yes, yeah.
And we've had an important audience, and that's continuing.
Yes, that... 1999, we went on the air, October of 1999, but there was a lot of planning prior to that, so we just about hit the 20-year mark. What were your thoughts? How did it come about, and what were your thoughts about the possibilities for a Bishop's Hour?
Well, I had always been interested and intrigued, in a sense, by Catholic radio. Just prior to that time, on the national level, We were getting a lot of information about the potential for Catholic radio and being encouraged even at the level of the bishops' conference to explore those possibilities. Different studies had been done about the effect on Catholics in terms of their education and their devotional life, but also on the potential for information given to non-Catholics who would be interested and so forth. Early on when I became Bishop of Sacramento, I established a committee of well-connected, like business people and to think and ponder a bit together to discuss how we might do that. And at some point, Doug Sherman of Immaculate Heart Radio was brought to our attention and came and talked to us. And over time, there was negotiations. He had already been up and running with Immaculate Heart Radio in the Reno area. Mm-hmm. His home base, of course,
Lake Tahoe.
Lake Tahoe, and wondered and was quite anxious to broadcast towards the valley, towards Sacramento. Right. And we talked, and part of the negotiation, it was Monsignor Jim Murphy who was doing most of that for me, because I had appointed him the diocesan director of communications, and he was very astute at things of communication, including newspaper and radio.
Right.
And it was basically his idea to not simply to open the door to Immaculate Heart Radio with all of its wonderful programming from EWTN and.
Right.
But that we would have a local live program. Mm-hmm. So he came up with the idea, and that was new for Immaculate Heart Radio, so they weren't sure about it, and it was new for the diocese, so I had people on staff a little concerned about a format of teaching and of communication with the people where you couldn't do some research
and
maneuver a very astute and carefully crafted response.
Right.
So the quote, dangers of live radio, and then people calling in and asking questions.
Right.
So we had to kind of tell staff and priest leadership, for example, at the priest's priest senate, leadership group of our priests, and they particularly, the priest leaders were particularly interested in the local touch.
Mm-hmm.
But plus, they thought, and as we did too, that the Bishop's Hour would give a way to address fresh topics that are today in the news.
Right, right.
What's happening? What's the Pope doing? What's happening at the Vatican? And what about this or that disaster in Puerto Rico or Haiti? And the Church's response and so forth. And to be able to talk about the different services of the Church, Catholic relief services, and so that was the interest. It was Monsignor Murphy's idea, and you, Bob Dunning, were sought because you had a record of radio and doing this sort of thing, and the rest is history. As you say, it's nearly 20 years. It's been a very good thing.
Oh, well, thank you. And I tell you, it's a labor of love. When I got the call and met with you, and I remember Monsignor Murphy was at the meeting, and I think Father Sylvester McDermott was there, and he was kind of a guardian angel. He would come down to the show every day and kind of sit in the studio there and fold his arms, and I'm afraid he was going to wag his finger at me every now and then. And he was a great support. And Monsignor Murphy, of course, he knows the media inside out, and was always very, very supportive. And of course, you were so supportive. So it was I don't think any of us imagine sitting here 20 years later. It's moved very quickly.
Well, and we're in a new era now relevant Catholic radio, right. But so these nearly 20 years of Immaculate Heart with the Bishop's Hour, it helped the expansion of Catholic radio.
Yeah.
Doug Sherman told me this on many occasions, that going to a new diocese in California and elsewhere to try to get the support of the diocese to increase the number of listeners and the areas and so forth, that talking about a local program under the auspices of the local bishop with live interviews and so forth became a very important selling point.
Yeah.
It helped Doug Sherman expand the system.
Yeah.
And it has proved to be very effective. So I think it has been a win-win. The biggest concern had been that it was English only, our biggest concern 20 years ago. And if anything, at that time, we thought our catechetical services were inadequate for the Spanish-speaking. Mm-hmm. And the radio, Catholic radio in Spanish, would be a way to reach our Spanish-speaking population. And it just wasn't possible. We after we established the Bishop's Hour and had Immaculate Heart radio functioning in the diocese for a long time, we kept looking for things. Doug Sherman was trying to help us on that, of how to get another station and to start broadcasting in Spanish. Unfortunately, I was never able to actually achieve that before I stepped down. But my successor, Bishop Soto, kept up the search and the maneuvering, and established that also a number of years ago in what is locally called the Radio Santissimo Sacramento, the Blessed Sacrament radio.
Right. And huge audience.
A huge audience, and some of those programs, I'm thinking of the daily morning mass offered at Our Lady of Guadalupe Church, is international. That's the one that goes all over the globe.
Right.
So it's been a marvelous thing. But that concern started way back.
Right.
And it was just not possible. So finally, it has become a reality. So we're very pleased with Catholic radio in all respects, including the more recent achievement of Spanish-speaking radio, Radio Santissimo Sacramento.
Yeah, and they're such wonderful people over there too. We interchange every now and then. They speak English better than I speak Spanish, so they'll come over and we'll do a little exchange, and it's always a lot of fun. Bishop, we're flat out of time here, but it's such an honor to see you, and maybe you would give our audience a blessing for the new year.
Well, it is the new year, and I'd be very pleased to do that. Lord Jesus, we ask your very special blessing upon all of us, upon the world, in this new year of 2018. We entrust it into your hands and ask that you bless us and all of our needs and concerns, all of the personal concerns and needs of our listeners at this time. And we ask your blessing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Bishop,
God bless you now.
Thanks for all you do for all of us. Thanks for all you've done for me personally. And we look forward to seeing you again soon.
All right. God bless.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with more on the Bishop's Hour right after this.